When the body of St. Ursula Liederhauska was exhumed, it was found to be incorrupt, just like many other saints. Was this a testament to the life she lived, or was it all just a coincidence? St. Ursula was one of the many religious who took great steps to be of service to the suffering when the Great War ravaged the world. So who was this saint that was reportedly found to be incorrupt? Julia Liederhauska was born just after Easter on April 17, 1865, in Lusdorf, Austria, into a prominent noble house as the fifth of 10 children to Count Antoni Halka Liederhauski and his second wife, Countess Josephine Sally Zizers. Her sister, Blessed Maria Theresa Liederhauska, was the founder of the Missionary Sisters of St. Peter Claver. Her brother Vladimir became the Superior General of the Jesuits. Julia moved with her family to Poland after the death of her father in 1883. Julia entered the Ursulines in Krakow in 1886, taking the name of Maria Ursula of Jesus. She was devoted to the care and education of the young and organized the first residence in Poland for female university students. Sister Ursula quickly finds the way to the hearts and minds of the girls. She learns Russian and passes the state exam, qualifying her to teach French. She made a perpetual profession of vows in 1889 and would go on to become Mother Superior from 1904 to 1907. She would advise her sisters, "Be apostles by a smile on your face, by kindness, readiness to serve others, and goodness shown to everyone." In 1907, Mother Ursula went with another sister to Russia to found a new convent and work among the Catholic immigrants. Although the nuns wore lay clothing, they were under constant surveillance by the secret police. At the beginning of World War I, Mother Ursula was expelled from Russia as an Austrian national. The Monsignor would be martyred by the Bolsheviks, and St. Petersburg would eventually be renamed Leningrad. Mother Ursula fled to neutral Sweden. She organized relief efforts for war victims and charitable programs for Polish people living in exile, founded a monthly Catholic newspaper, and made extensive ecumenical contacts with Lutherans in Scandinavia. In 1920, Mother Ursula, her sisters, and dozens of orphans, which were the children of immigrants, made their way back to Poland. During the hectic years they had spent abroad, the growing Ursuline community had developed a distinctive charism and apostolate. Therefore, Mother Ursula founded her own congregation, the Ursuline Sisters of the Heart of Jesus in Agony. Her brother Vladimir, who had become Superior General of the Jesuits, helped to obtain Vatican approval of the new institute, which was to be devoted to the education and training of children and the youth, and service to the poorest and the oppressed. Between the two world wars, Mother Ursula and the nuns taught catechism in the enormous factory town of Łódź. She organized a Eucharistic crusade among the working class children, encouraging those little knights of the crusade to write to Pope Pius XII in honor of the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination. Some children wrote that they loved the Holy Father as much as their own parents. Others spoke of receiving our Lord in First Holy Communion, of wanting to be his apostles and missionaries. Mother Ursula was known to have spent many hours in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. Speaking of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, she said, "Christ earned everything for us by his passion and death on the cross. Direct your eyes to the cross, like a flower to the sun." Mother Ursula Liederhauska died on May 29, 1939, at the General House of her community in Rome. St. Pope John Paul II beatified her during his second pastoral visit to Poland in 1983, the Holy Year of Redemption and the sixth centenary of Our Lady of Jasna Góra in the city of Poznan, with school children from Łódź in attendance. St. Ursula provides us with an excellent example to emulate. She reminds us that God does not demand great feats or deeds that are beyond our capabilities. He simply asks that we love Him, ourselves, and others, and learn to see every action and thought as a means of furthering our dedication to our faith. Take time to meditate on the events of your day and how you can incorporate your faith more readily into your experience of the day. Servietta Ursula Liederhauska, Mudalshi Zanami.